Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Quotivation Podcast, where we are unlocking inspiration one quote at a time. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you've had a wonderful weekend and you are ready. You are recharged. You are set to head right into this next week to accomplish the goals that you have set forth, to blast through the things that are preventing you from achieving those goals, those roadblocks, those things that pop up during the middle of the week that we weren't prepared for, that have thrown us for a loop, that maybe has sent our world into chaos. Well, you have the incredible ability to manage the chaos. And I want to say something right here. My wife hates when I say this. She hates it because every time I say it, something else goes wrong. But I'm going to say it anyway. I keep saying it. I have to say it because it's what I believe. And I want you to listen. Everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. And the reason that I truly believe that is because all of us have the ability to manage, to deal, to work with anything we've been handed. But we have to understand how to do that. We have to go headlong, full charge into whatever challenge that we're facing. No more sweeping it under the rug. No more procrastinating. Hit it head on. With all your strength, with all your might, with all your knowledge. And everything will be okay. I just felt like I needed to say that this week. And I'll tell you what else will be okay. It'll be okay if you listen to the rest of this episode of the Quotivation Podcast, because it is going to be a good one. So what do you say? We get it started. And we're going to start this episode like we do every episode of the Quotivation Podcast by taking a shot of motivation this week and every week. Our shot of motivation is sponsored by Amy Real from Fairway Mortgage. Amy is the real deal in all things mortgage. You want to ask her about all of the specials that they have. They have wonderful deals at Fairway for veterans and their Patriot loans. They have the cash guarantee program that'll make a cash offer to buy your home if it doesn't sell before the allotted time period, that removes the contingencies to buy. Maybe you're thinking about refinancing. You're hearing a lot about that in the news today, you know, refinancing with interest rates, what they're expected to do, where they're going, what's going on. Amy can walk you through that entire process. She has the knowledge, she has the skill, and here's the most important part. She has the integrity to give you the very best deal, to put you in the very best spot so that you can own your home and accomplish your dreams. So you want to give her a call today. Her phone number is 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. You can also email Amy at amy.real, that's R-E-I-H-L, at fairwaymc.com. Amy Real, she's the real deal in all things mortgage. And her NMLS number is 486-620. And as always, thank you, Amy, for your continued support of the Quotivation Podcast. All right. Well, let's get to it. Let's take our shot. Our shot of motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
I want to talk to you today about something that really touches the core of our being, something that shapes our thoughts, our actions, and really how we interact with the world. Self-esteem. Now, self-esteem, I think, is the foundation of our confidence. It's that quiet force that tells us that we're worthy and that we're capable and that we deserve happiness. But you know, today in our world, we're filled with constant comparisons, societal pressures, and of course, that never-ending quest for a lot of us for perfection. We're exposed to it. We see it everywhere. We see the pictures in the magazines that have been photoshopped to look perfect, to wipe out the blemishes, to shape down the muffin tops so that we think perfection in how we look is tied directly to who we are. And oftentimes, when we look at the constant comparisons, the societal pressures, the quest for perfection, our self-esteem takes a beating because we can't live up to those things. No one could or should have to live up to those expectations. So then where do we find the motivation to build and sustain our self-esteem? Well, I think the first place that we have to look, it's very important that we start here, is to look inward, to look within ourselves. The journey to a healthy self-esteem begins within ourselves. It's about recognizing our intrinsic worth. It's about recognizing the independent, the fact that we're worthy and that comes from within. It's not someone else saying it. We need to block out the noise. We need to keep the opinions of others at bay for this first step. This needs to be ours. This needs to be yours. This needs to be your exploration within your soul. You also need to block out the voice that's in your head telling you that you're not worthy or that you're not perfect or that you're not slim, trim, fit, and cut. Whatever it is that you're seeking, there's a voice inside of us that has been ingrained in us that we've allowed to enter into our mind that will tell us that we're not worthy. We need to shut that voice up. Shut it out of your mind. Shut it down. As we look inwardly, because then as we start to look inwardly, we'll begin to understand that you're unique. You have your own set of talents, experiences, perspectives, and that we should celebrate that individuality. Reflect on your achievements. It doesn't matter what they are or how big they were or how small they may seem to you. Celebrate them. Every step forward, every challenge you overcome is a testament to your resilience and your strength. Embrace your imperfections. Recognize them. See them. Accept them. It's easier for us to recognize our imperfections. It's easy for us to see them. Very few of us have learned to accept them because those imperfections, that's what makes you human. Self-esteem is not about being perfect. Can I say that again? Self-esteem is not about being perfect. It's about being perfectly you. That's what it is. Self-esteem is allowing you to be the best version of you that you can be. It allows you to recognize what the best version of you can be looks like. Because it's not perfection. None of us are perfect. We're all broken. But as the old saying goes, as the old quote says, broken crayons still color. Look inwardly first to find your worth, because it's there. Don't allow your mind, don't allow that voice in your head to tell you that it's not, because it is. It is there. Shut that voice out and truly concentrate on looking inside your soul and finding your self-worth. And if you start looking deep into your soul and you start feeling like there's nothing here, I can't find anything, I knew there wouldn't be here, then you haven't shut that voice out of your head. That's an external perspective. Don't sabotage this. It's too important. Shut that voice out. Look at it from an objective, unbiased perspective and find the things within yourself that God has placed there. They are there. Look inwardly. It's only after you do this and you recognize the talents and the wonderful things that are within your heart and your soul that you should then look outwardly. Surrounding yourself with positivity, people that we associate with play a crucial role in shaping our self-esteem. Seek out people who uplift you, who support you, encourage you. Those are your true friends. Those are your mentors. They see potential in you. They remind you about how wonderful you are when you forget or when you let those voices in. They challenge you to grow, not by tearing you down, not by tearing you apart, not by nitpicking every imperfection, but by helping you see the greatness that's within you. Here comes the hard part. You know what I'm going to say. But you have to distance yourself from the negativity, from those who belittle you, those who undermine you, those who tell you that, no, you're not worth it. That, yeah, that is a terrible part of your personality. Yeah, that is something that's awful about you. Your environment should be a reflection of the love and respect you deserve, because you do deserve it. Get rid of the negativity. That's easier said than done in a lot of cases. You have to evaluate relationships, friendships, romantic relationships. You either get rid of it or you have the conversation and say, hey, I'm not going to be a part of this anymore. I need to be uplifted. There's some people in your life that may be negative to you that they may not even realize what they're doing, or they may think they're helping you. But it's up to you to voice how you need help. Not just that you need help, but how you want to receive it. Surround yourself with positive people. Third, another powerful source of motivation in finding your self-esteem is through acts of kindness and service. You can't help but feel great about yourself when you're helping other people. It reinforces our own sense of purpose, our own sense of value. Volunteer, offer a helping hand, simply be there for someone who's in need. And that will, you'll be amazed at how that boosts your self-esteem. It reminds us of our ability to make a positive impact in the world. And I don't care who you are, what's in your heart, what you think, what you believe, what you know, there is not a human being on earth who would not feel good about themselves after helping someone in need. It's part of who we are. It's our DNA. It's how we're wired as humans. Building self-esteem, it's not a one-time event. You can't sit down and do this for 30 minutes and be fixed. It's a lifelong journey. It requires your patience, persistence, and practice. But I want you to remember something. Your value is not determined by others' opinions or external circumstances. Your value comes from within. Your value is in your heart, your soul, your spirit. So start today. Start believing in yourself. Start recognizing the incredible person that you are. Draw motivation from it, from the positive influences that are around you, from the joy of helping others, from the kindness you show to yourself. You are deserving of love, respect, and happiness. And I know a lot of you out there are saying, yeah, I am. But here's the thing. You have to be the first person to recognize that, because you have to love yourself. You have to respect yourself. You have to be happy with yourself. Why? Because you deserve it. Believe in your worth, nurture it, and let it shine. Because I'm going to tell you something. The world needs your unique light. That's how you win your week. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
This has been a shot of motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. Trey Bolin is a wife, a homeschooling mom, and a serial entrepreneur. She has 30 years experience in the entrepreneur realm, helping her family business and then branching out on her own. She's built 3 six-figure businesses, and she is passionate about personal branding and the power of brand storytelling. She loves to serve and help others and is always looking for a way to make connections and better the lives of those around her. Please welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, Trey Bolin. Trey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I can't even talk. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. I'm doing great. I've been so looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. I'm really glad that we're doing this.
Yes, absolutely. And I love the fact that you have so much experience in the world of entrepreneurship. I'd love to hear more. Tell us about how you really found your niche in entrepreneurship, what kind of businesses you're into, what you've started, your experiences. Give us the lowdown on this.
So my parents are both entrepreneurs, as you just said, and I kind of was raised in it, right? So like the dinner table was the boardroom. It was where decisions were happening, but also prayers were being said over what to do next. And I really saw that. There was highs, there was lows, good times, bad times, hard times. But we always prayed about things and we always were persevering. And so it was a challenge, you know. There was some really lean times. The '80s, the '90s were kind of challenging, similar to how we are now. Yeah. And I saw that and I was like, I do not want to be an entrepreneur. I said it in the back of my mind, not out loud. Didn't want to offend my parents.
Can't say it out loud.
Right. Not going to say it out loud, but I think my parents wanted better for me, you know, really pushed college, really pushed like, you know, what do you want to do? And so I did end up getting an associate's degree and was doing a lot of forward facing customer service type jobs, worked at a hotel, worked at a library, worked at a hospital, all very customer relations type scenarios. And I loved it. I got married and it was a struggle that first year of marriage, not because of our relationship, but because of the economy. It was a really tough time in 2010 for the car industry, which my husband is a part of. And I had a friend of mine who was like, I know like things are kind of hard and this is what I'm doing. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. She's a photographer, but there was a niche market of photography, newborn photography that was just emerging. And she was like, you're kind of crafty. You could probably make little outfits for babies for the photos only. And I was like, that's interesting. I tried it. I gave it a go. That was my first company, Devoted Knits. Grew the business. I was not a great knitter. I am not a great knitter. But what I am good at is relationships, which is what my mom's good at. Connecting with people, serving them, helping them. And And so I did that business, and that was my first business that I did grow to six figures. It was a really exciting time for the industry. As it was growing, I was growing, and it was really fun. I ended up having grannies that were knitting for me in nursing homes. It was really great. They were able to knit for me. I needed them, and I was able to pay them. So it was a really cool situation. But, you know, as things grow, things change, things pivot. I pivoted into photography, and I really love photography, doing newborn work, of course, maternity, family, kind of discovered brand photography, which was really interesting because I was like, wait a minute, I've been doing this already. I've been like promoting my business, promoting myself. So sure. Personal brand, yeah, that really resonated. And so in 2018, I took a course, really got into it. Launch that business. And of course, you know, there's a couple businesses that I'm skipping over for the sake of the story, which we'll get back to. And then we had a global pandemic, you know, then things kind of like all went crazy. But right. During that crazy is when I got mistaken for a pots and pan salesman. Yep. I was cooking all the time, right? We were all at home cooking in our homes, loving cooking. Someone was like, I want to buy that pan from you. And I was like, I'm not selling this pan. And then I thought, you know what? I am going to sell this pan. I'm going to become a rep for this company and sell these pans. And sure enough, I sold six figures worth of of kitchen products during the pandemic. People were eating at home. They're looking for those solutions. And what I found, Jody, is being ready for the pivot and ready for the next thing. That's what makes a serial entrepreneur. And that's actually what makes a good business person, right? Yeah. Because if our business is like this, it's strong and steady is a good thing. But sometimes the changes are the things that catapult you into the next greatness, right?
Right, right.
So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I mean, we have to be able to identify the changes that are happening outside of our control.
Exactly.
And just be able to move and adapt to those changes. That's how businesses grow and are successful. And it sounds like what you're really good at is identifying needs at the right time.
Yes.
And just like you said, you know, it's this we're all cooking at home during the pandemic, or some of us who like don't cook. My wife and I, we were starving at home, praying that they don't close the restaurants because that's where we get our food source. Use the grocery store for paper products. Food source comes for the restaurants.
Hey, but, you know.
But we're an anomaly, right? Right. So during COVID, everyone was at home. And so who would have thought, let's sell pots and pans because that's what people are doing. And if they're doing it, they want to do it well. Right.
Yes.
And
exactly.
So that's just a great example of recognizing an opportunity in the market and jumping on it. And I love that. I want to go back a little bit. You mentioned the newborn photography. Now tell me that we're talking about like the big hands holding the little baby.
I am talking about that. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That is fantastic. Yes. So as you went through that process and I can just see the little grannies knitting, you know, they've got an assembly line at the nursing home, right?
It was so great.
So how did you make the decision to transition from providing the outfits to doing the photography? What went through your mind to do that?
Math. I can only knit so much.
Yeah.
And the grannies could only knit so much. And I recognized that there was a bottom line, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I could only sell that outfit for as much as I could sell that outfit. Mm. But if I was the photographer taking the photo, there was actually more money to be made there. But also there's a service to provide for those families of that moment in time that is going to be captured forever. I know it sounds so cheesy, but honestly, when you're a parent, and I wasn't a parent at that time, but I have younger siblings, and that newborn stage is gone like that.
So quick.
It is so quick. And here's the thing. You're delirious during that time. You are not thinking straight. You do not look nice. Let's be honest. It's not a pretty time. But what if there was someone like me who said, hey, come to my studio. I'm going to take this beautiful picture of you and your baby and your significant other and your family. And it's going to be this moment that's captured forever of probably one of the most hardest things that you will ever go through. But you'll have this beautiful thing to remember it by, you know, not to discount against the hard and the challenge. I don't want to gloss over that. But sometimes we need something beautiful to look at and say, okay, yeah, we did that. It was hard. It was tough. Maybe I don't need a picture of the tough moments, but having a picture of this beautiful moment, you know, and that's when I really fell in love with newborn photography.
Yeah.
It's really like, seeing that happen for families.
Right. It's kind of like finding the why. Why are we doing this? Why are we going through all of this? And the why is this beautiful picture of your newborn and the time that is so fleeting. You're right. It goes by so fast. It just, I tell young parents now, don't blink. Don't blink. Gosh. I mean, it's gone in an instant. Tell me a little bit about the brand, the storytelling of personal brand. What really caused you to find that as a passion, and what drives you to learn and to promote personal branding?
You know, it's because it's what I was doing this whole time. I didn't have a name for it, right? I was just, when I got a Facebook, I was like using it like everybody else. But then I started using it like a personal diary, you know, kind of sharing what happened in my day, sharing highs, sharing lows, and sharing the things I love and connecting people, you know, and building community. And really, that is the heart of personal branding, or what the heart of personal branding should be, is sharing authentically who you are. And I can't help it. You know, that's just how I am. And I thought, okay, I've been a business owner for, gosh, almost 14 years now. And I've utilized social media for the entire thing. Mm-hmm. I have not done advertising. I don't have a brick and mortar. It's all been social media, word of mouth. And so seeing that is how I grew my business and realizing, okay, Jody, I am not uber thin. I am not super wealthy. I'm a decent looking person, but I'm not a supermodel. Okay. So if I could figure out how to brand myself as just a regular person, then that meant I could help other regular people do it. That you didn't have to be wealthy, that you didn't have to be super thin or super beautiful or this, you know, 0.9% of the population, that branding was actually for everyone. And it's a way to connect us to each other, because what it is just authentically being you.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of how I fell into it.
It's so important to be so authentic if you're really trying to promote and enhance your brand. And because at the end of the day, I can't tell you how to feel about me. I mean, I could tell you how to feel about me, but it doesn't mean you have to do it. But if you have that experience and you create that experience, and people trust authenticity. And let's face it, I mean, when we're entrepreneurs, when we're in business, trust is the currency. It has to be. And if you're not authentic, if you're not relatable, if you're the 0.09% of the population, chances are you're going to have a really difficult time building that trust.
Exactly.
And so it's just so important. I love that. And you're connecting people right and left here. Tell me a little bit about Step Up Referrals. This sounds really interesting, and I want to hear about it and how it's going to grow and the vision you have for it.
Yeah. So it's actually not my idea, so I don't want to claim it. But I was brought on by the founder, Maury Renee, and I really caught her vision. And she wants to create a community of people that want to refer to each other, and not just local businesses only, but nationwide and then globally. So what if you could, I don't know, pop into my town and you're like, oh, I'm new here. I'm not from this area. What businesses are in the area that are referral based, that want to be pay it forward businesses, and that want to network with others. If you go to stepupreferrals.com, you can click on a location and see all of the businesses that referral based, that want to network, that want to pay it forward in business. That's a business that I want to check out.
Yeah.
You know?
And so when you say pay it forward, like a pay it forward business, explain to me what that is.
Yes. So a pay it forward business is someone that's looking for an opportunity to create growth for others. Mm. You know, when the two of us get together, there's always a third person that's winning, not just us and our relationship. Because I'm always trying to think of who could I introduce to Jody?
Sure.
Who could I bring into this that's not connected to Jody, that needs to know Jody, or that maybe this person that you need to know them. Yeah. You know, when I introduce myself to somebody and we chit chat and we talk and I'm at an event, I always end by saying, is there anybody here that you think I should be introduced to? Hmm. I would love to meet who you think I should meet.
Yeah.
And it's been such a fun way to like then be led around the room and I don't have to go, oh, who should I talk to next?
Right.
I'm getting introduced and they're telling me all the fabulous things about Betty. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, we should be connected. I can't wait to see where this connection goes. And that's what I mean by pay it forward, where it's not introspective. We're always on the out looking, mm-hmm. looking to do good for others.
Yeah. Yeah. And what a great networking tool that you just gave. I mean, people ask me all the time, what are some things I can do to meet more people and to network and grow my network? And so many times I hear people say, well, I just go on LinkedIn and I hit connect. And they're like, what are you doing that for? It needs to be personal. It needs to be intentional. Like, what are you trying to accomplish? And so I love that technique, you know, and doing it at the end of a conversation. Who do you think I should meet? Knowing now everything that I just told you, who should I meet? What a fabulous way to network the room. I love that.
And you know what? It's because usually while someone was talking to me, I was already thinking of who I should introduce them to.
Sure.
Right? Because as you're getting to know someone, it's resonating, things are happening, and maybe you name drop someone or maybe you don't. Maybe it stays in your head and you're like, oh, that would make a good connection.
Yeah.
And so I'm just drawing it out. I'm just asking for it, right?
Yep. Yep. And the great thing about that is the person that you have in your mind to introduce them to stays top of mind. And you have suddenly created value for yourself with that person and it just multiplies. And so it's, you know, once that flywheel starts to turn, it's not that hard to connect and network.
Right. Right. And I also think too, I'm not trying to be selfish. Mm. I want to, who can I connect you with? Like, that's a fun game that I feel like I'm always playing in my mind of like, oh, this person totally should meet that person, you know? And as I meet more people, I can do that more and more and more.
Yeah. And you just never know where that leads. I mean, there's so many opportunities that come through connections. Even doing podcasts, I've met so many people and had the opportunity to do so many things that I never thought I would do. And it really wasn't why I started the podcast, but it was a great result of it. And I think God opens doors and God puts people together and somehow it's always just perfect timing as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Everything always happens when it's supposed to. And I've definitely seen that on my journey in entrepreneurship that I usually have an agenda and a goal and a plan, and it's good to have those, but sometimes almost often it doesn't always happen that way, you know, and just being more open-handed with things and saying, okay, God, what you're going to have happen is going to be what happens, and bringing the right people. You know, sometimes I think, oh, I'd love to have that person as a client, or I'd love to work for that person.
Sure.
And then it doesn't happen. And then you're like, oh, I'm rejected. But what if rejection is actually protection?
It usually is. It usually is. Absolutely. I love that. Well, Trey, I want to dive into the quote because I love this quote. And I also love who it comes from. If you could read the quote and tell us who said it and why it's so inspiring for you.
Yeah. So the quote is from C.S. Lewis, and he states, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." And, you know, I think that that is, it just resonates so much with me because of how our world is right now. You know, I think there's hurting. I think there's brokenness. I think things are hard. And maybe not even just in this pocket of time, in this year, in this day, in this month, but always, you know? And I think instead of feeling the emptiness, let that emptiness create something within us that cries out and says, is there more? Is this all I was created for? Just to live and then die, or just to be in this state forever? And we could talk about suffering, we could talk about challenges that people overcome, but you know, I truly believe we are made for more, and it's those hard times that pull out that yearning within us. And I think we have that God hole that can only be filled by God. And so a part of who I am is always looking to connect people back to God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what I love about this. And what comes to mind with this quote is that I think there are some of us who will feel an emptiness. And I think most of us have an emptiness at some point in some time in our life. There's an emptiness within our soul, within our hearts. And it can do one of two things. It can create misery, or it can create longing. We will long for something that we miss, or that we don't even know. Sometimes we don't even know what it is that we're longing for, but there's something more. I know there's something more. Or we can look into this abyss, this emptiness that's in our heart, and be dismayed and really just fall into the trap of being empty, instead of longing to be filled. And I think there's a difference between being empty and then having a longing to be fulfilled. And it just draws this out that it leads you to, okay, well, if there's nothing in this world that's going to fill this void, then there has to be something more than just this world, because this void is still here.
Yeah. Well, I think of how mankind is always pushing the boundaries of discovery.
Sure.
Right? We're like, okay, Christopher Columbus discovered the new world. We're like, what else is on Earth to conquer? Let's go into the ocean. Let's go to the Arctic. Let's go to the moon. Let's go to space. Let's conquer. Let's find. Let's search.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think the thing that we're searching for is God. Mm-hmm. That is the longing for the more.
It is a longing for the more, and a longing for understanding, and a longing for knowledge. And some people will find that knowledge, and then some people will create that knowledge. And so, you know, the question is, do you believe in the Creator? And do you believe that there is more out there? Do you believe that there is this universal plan that God has created? Or do you kind of fill in the blanks for yourself? And say, oh, well, you know, there was this molecule that evolved, and then there were two, and then there were three, and all of a sudden, here we are. So, you know, it really is. And what I love about God, and what I love about particularly Christian faith, is that it is completely a choice. It's not forced. It's not predestined. It's not anything that is put on someone to say, you have to believe this. God doesn't want to force us to come to Him. He longs to be found.
Right.
And which I think is just, it's fascinating. So as we think about this quote, and I love the second half of this, by the way, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And so, you know, you can look at that in a variety of ways. I think as a Christian, you look at it as, you know, I wasn't created for this broken world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was made for something more. But as we think about this quote and our desire to explore, and our desire to fill that void, many people are having that feeling every day. They drive into work, or they're or they're dealing with a toxic relationship, whatever the case may be. How can people take this quote and apply it to their lives so that they can potentially win their week? That's what I would love for people to do. I love people to win their week. And how do you do that? You win a moment, you string a couple of those moments together, you've won your day. String a couple of days together, you've won your week, and you've moved yourself toward whatever you're trying to achieve. So how do people win their week thinking about this quote?
You know, I think people are going to win their week by thinking about this, is that we're not without hope. Hmm. You know, I think there's a lot of hopelessness right now, whether or not we're thinking about the economy or the future or politics. It just feels very hopeless, right? But I think if we embrace, especially what you're saying at that end of that quote, that we're made for more. Mm-hmm. You know, and that our focus is not on the emptiness, but the focus to be on the, then we must be made for something more.
Right.
You know, and I think if we're curious, you know, God says that he wants to be found, that mm-hmm. if we seek, he will be found of us. And so I think that's a big encouragement, that we don't have to be hopeless, that we can live as those with hope. And if anybody is seeking God, that he wants to be found. And I think a great place to find him is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, start from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, God is the creator. You were made for more.
Right. I think that's fantastic and truly uplifting and something that can counteract and just be this the antidote for what we're facing in society. Like you said, mm-hmm. There's so much toxicity, there's so much anger. I mean, gosh, you can't even drive down the road without somebody yelling at you or for mm-hmm. whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that there has to be something that reminds us to love each other more. We've gotten so far away from caring and loving for our fellow man, and it's almost become taboo. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, when you look at things like you know, how people will just want their personal space. You're in my personal space, or you're sticking your nose into my business, and sure, there are people that are just there for the gossip, but you know, there are some people there that want to pour into you, and we've lost that, and we've lost the desire yeah. to have someone pour into us, and we've lost the ability to pour into other people. And I don't know how we get it back.
You know, I think it's interesting that, like, as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, the more that we're made for is relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and we're made for relationship with God, and we mm-hmm. cannot have that relationship with God without being reconciled back to him right. through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that is when the loss and the longing hits the hope and the glory.
Yeah.
When we are reconciled back with God. And maybe that's why we're holding each other at an arm's distance.
Exactly.
Maybe right. That's why it's too hard to make the connection with people, is because we haven't been reconciled back to God. Not that a reconciliation or a moment in time where we trust Jesus solves all of our problems and makes everything la, 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 la. You know, it's not we're off to see the wizard moment. You know, it's more of, okay, now I have a hope. Yeah. Now I have a future. Now I have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And that relationship is going to be the thing that gets me through this, you know, vast hopelessness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, the other thing that it really lends itself to is just the fact that we don't have to do it alone. I think a lot of times when you face hard times, when you go through tough things, when you stare into the abyss of the emptiness, you want to isolate, you want to pull yourself back. And, you know, God can be experienced. And people will say, well, you know, how do I experience God? I can't see God. I can't. And well, you see God in others who see God. You know, you find that in relationships with people that believe, and building those relationships allows you to see how God works in other people's lives. And it's a reflection of his love for us. And then you can begin to see, oh, well, that just happened for me. And, oh, I'm starting to put the dots together, connecting yeah. the dots, and it's starting to work. So, you know, that's that, I think that can also be the more that we're looking for, is just whether people want to admit it or not, we want to be in a group of people who are uplifting and encouraging and love one another. And, and you don't always find that wholly and completely. I mean, we're all imperfect, and we do things wrong all the time, but you know, you can come into it with thinking that the best of intentions are at heart, and that's powerful.
Yeah. I think the thing that I love to think about is that we were created for more. Mm-hmm. The more is relationship with God, but he didn't leave us there. That's mm-hmm. why we have the Bible, mm-hmm. right? We have scripture to remind us, to help us to kill sin, to live for him. And it's the guidepost, right? Yeah. Like, yes, relationships, people around us to encourage us. But I just want to say, it's not always loving. It's not always encouraging. Sometimes it's hard.
It is.
Sometimes it's a challenge, and people will tell you, hey, you know what? Shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? That's not the right way to think about this. You know, and recently I was encouraged in a hard way of, you know, you said this and that was really encouraging, but then you said this over here and that really wasn't, you know? So I think I want to be a part of a community of people that will cheer me on and love me, but love me enough to tell me the hard things.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
And that's what we need more of in the world, honestly. No,
100%, because we can all do certain things well. It's the things that we don't do well that we need some correction and guidance and help with.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay to be corrected, because then you have the opportunity to grow, right? If I was like super awesome all the time, there'd be no room for growth.
Oh, yes. To be super awesome all the time, I don't know that I would truly enjoy that, because when you learn and when you grow, you discover new things about yourself.
Yes. And
it's fantastic. Trey, as we close out, I want to ask just a question about entrepreneurship. If there's someone out there saying, you know, I really want to explore something, I have an idea, I have something I want to do, and I don't know if it makes sense, or I don't know if it's going to be a viable option, what's your advice for them?
Yeah, I think there's two things that that I wish someone would have told me. And so the first one is, get everything legally done. Do all the yucky business. I'm a creative. I'm an artist. You know, get someone to look at your contracts. Get an accountant. Do all that yucky business stuff first. Get it out of the way. And then jump in. Just jump in. All your feet first, like, you know, leave nothing on the table. I am a risk taker. So glad that I am. I have, I think a lot of the reasons why I've been successful is because I take risks. Mm. So do the legal stuff that's not fun, and then jump in.
Well, that's great advice from Trey Boland. She has been my special guest right here on the Cultivation Podcast. Trey, thank you so much for joining us. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, that was Trey Boland on the Quotivation Podcast. Trey, thank you so much for this fantastic quote from C.S. Lewis. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in the world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Well, I tell you what, Trey, this conversation has been out of this world. And I want to thank you for being on the Quotivation Podcast. Such a pleasure to chat with you, to feel the energy that you have for being an entrepreneur, even though you said early on, I will never be an entrepreneur. Careful what you say, Trey. That's great. But that was Trey Boland, ladies and gentlemen, just a fantastic individual, a wonderful entrepreneurial mindset to be able to recognize needs that people have at certain points within human history, even. The fact that she was able to recognize that there is going to be a need during COVID for really high quality kitchen appliances, pots and pans. People are cooking at home. Well, most people. I mean, we were praying that the drive-thrus wouldn't be shut down. But most normal people were cooking at home. And Trey recognized that need and found a way to fill that need. That's what being an entrepreneur is all about. And certainly her faith and her experiences has led her to great success. And this quote just accents and highlights the fact that, yes, we were made for something more. You were made for something more. And I'm so glad you got to experience that conversation on this episode of the Quotivation Podcast. But before you go, stick around. We have just enough time for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. C.S. Lewis, a great theologian, a wonderful literary mastermind, creator of the Chronicles of Narnia. C.S. Lewis, one of the great thinkers of the 20th century, and had a really profound way of putting hard, complex theological ideas into very succinct, understandable, and really easy to comprehend quotes like this one. And I think there's so much more to this quote than just what it says. And, you know, and Trey touched on this as well. You know, the probable explanation is that I was made for another world really does indicate that truly we were not created to live in a broken world. Now, nothing takes God by surprise. He knew that we would, but that just wasn't the intent of our creation. I don't believe that mankind is destined to live the rest of eternity out in a broken world as we are today. I believe we were made for more than that. And how many of us are searching for something to fill the void? We talked about this with Trey, looking over the edge into the abyss, into this vast emptiness within our souls, within our hearts. Maybe it's been left there by losing a loved one or losing a relationship, or maybe it's been that vast emptiness has been left there because our identity, what we put our identity in, has been ripped away. You know, a lot of times we put our identity into what we do, what our job is, who other people see us as. Those things can be taken from us. And if our identity is in those things and they're taken from us, there is a void that is left. And we find ourselves searching for an experience to fill that void, to satisfy that desire. C.S. Lewis says, the first part of his quote, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, we all are looking for those experiences. And a lot of us are not going to find those experiences in this world, because the satisfaction, the fulfillment that comes from having that void filled, those voids can only be filled by a higher power. And so C.S. Lewis says the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And believe it or not, we were. That's what I believe. There was evidence of that in Adam and Eve. They were in another world. They lived in a time when the universe wasn't broken, that sin had not been brought into the world. And they were in this garden and they were conversing with God. They were walking in the garden hand in hand with the Creator, learning, fellowshipping, talking, just experiencing that powerful moment. And then the fall happened. Things were broken. And there was a gap placed between mankind and God. And if you're a Christian, you understand and you believe that Jesus Christ filled that gap. But the world is still broken. The work to be done to create what was, to restore what was, has not happened yet. And so as we go searching into this world, as we look for those things, we find in ourselves desires to be fulfilled. And we may not even understand where those desires come from. They were placed there. That's what we were talking about earlier with Trey. There's this longing that is there. We long for something. And a lot of times we long for something that we can't even explain what we're longing for. A type of love that simply can't be found in this world. And we look and we try to satisfy it. And sometimes, you know, it comes back to the old song, the old country song, looking for love in all the wrong places. That's what we tend to do when we're searching for the kind of love that can only be given to us by the one who created us. We search for it in other things. And we realize, we come to a point that we realize that there is nothing in this world that can satisfy that emptiness. So we do one of two things. We give up. We live the rest of our lives in despair. Or we look beyond. We look beyond what we can see. We look beyond what we sometimes believe. And we search for and we find what we're looking for in the power of the one who put the desire there in the first place. That's what this quote says to me. So if you want to win your week this week, truly examine what it is that you're searching for. Understand it. Learn about it. Define it. What are you looking for in your life? Whether it's your career, your personal life, your work life, your romance, whatever it is, whatever you're searching for, there's a longing that you have. Recognize what it is. Understand it. Define it. Write it down. What is it truly that will fill the void that has been left in your heart, in your soul? And ask yourself this question. Do I really expect there to be an experience in this world that can satisfy that void? And if the answer is, I don't think so, then maybe it's time that you look beyond this world. That you look beyond what you can see, that you look beyond what you can prove. And you find the love that you're looking for in the one who created you in the first place. That doesn't just win your week, ladies and gentlemen. That wins eternity. But I hope you win your week this week. I hope you find the definition of what it is that you're looking for, what it is that's going to fill that void, and that you begin that journey and you take that step and you open your mind to the possibility that there is one who loves you unconditionally. So I hope you win your week this week. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation. I want to thank Trey Bolin for being our very special guest, for bringing us this quote from C.S. Lewis. And I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.